from John. To the Jews who have believed, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Therefore, from Romans, "There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death."
I think it's really good sometimes to take scripture and to put ourselves into that space, especially if it's stories that we may have heard for decades, some of us, right? We've heard the story of the Exodus, maybe seen it on TV in 1,000 different versions. So to put ourselves into that context and to imagine what it might have been like can be really helpful. However, I really can't imagine what it would have been like to have been a slave for 400 years. So I trace back to my mum, my grandma, my great-grandparents, great-great-grandparents. All of them, all they had ever known was slavery in Egypt. And so suddenly this bloke says, "Hey, come follow me. We're going to get out of here." And yeah, God does all this amazing stuff. And then he goes before them as a great pillar of fire. Now, these people had not been used to experiencing God really in any way, let alone as a pillar of fire. So I can't imagine really what it would have been like for them to have been set free and stepping out into the desert, thank you, without having a clue where they're going. I can imagine a little bit because of our time in Germany. We spent 5 years in the former East Germany, and we heard many of their stories, many horrible, horrifying stories of women my age and what they went through under the communist regime. And we were sitting around having morning tea one morning and they were bemoaning the fact that they now had freedom and democracy. They were wishing they could go back to the good old days. Ross and I kind of looked at each other, thinking of the stories they had been telling us. They weren't allowed to travel outside of the communist area. So they couldn't pop over to France, Italy, Western Germany, where their mums, dads, brothers, sisters lived. Like, they couldn't travel anywhere except in other communist countries, and only after a lengthy approval process. If they wanted a car, they could get a car. They may have to wait years, perhaps decades, to get a Trabant, the only car that was available. And they waited for that. They could get things like fresh oranges once a year if they queued up for it and one per person. One of our friends told us a story at Easter time. They were queuing up to get chocolate bunnies. And each family could get 2 chocolate bunnies. If you had 3 kids in your family, too bad. They never knew who was spying on them, because after the wall came down, they could check it out. So they would go in and look at their records and find, "Oh, nice old Mr. Schmidt down the hall has been reporting on my activities for 30 years. Or my father has been spying on me and reporting on me for 30 plus years." So they tell us these stories, and these are the milder versions of the stories. And then we sit at morning tea with them and they're saying, "Oh yeah, it was better. It was better then." And Ross and I literally had no words to say. Now, Paul experienced something similar. In his letter to the Galatians, and this is a great letter to check out sometime on a quiet Sunday afternoon perhaps, the Galatians had grown up or had lived in the Galatian church under the Jewish law, which was pretty hard to keep perfectly and took a great deal of effort to do your best. And then Jesus comes along and they are set free and free through the Spirit. But then, oh dear, they forgot what it was like in the olden days. And they wanted to go back to how it was. And Paul, God bless his bluntness at times, says, "You foolish Galatians." Like basically, you're idiots. You're free and you want to go back to that system that clearly didn't work and clearly wasn't helpful. He goes on to say, it's for freedom that Christ has set you free. Like, you're free. Why go back? Why go back into prison? Why go back to the East Germany communist system? You're free. He says, stand firm then. Do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Now, many of us, and I hope all of us, know what it's like to be free in Christ. I'm also sure that many of us know what it's like to occasionally get stuck again. We get caught up maybe in the old ways of thinking. We allow the old voices in our heads to speak to us and to trap us again with thoughts about, oh, maybe you should this, that, or something else. Sorry. But we are called to be free, each one of us. Not just freed once and then kind of left to our own devices. God didn't leave the Israelites in the desert after he freed them. He stuck with them all those years. So what are we free from? We're free from the law of sin and death. Aren't you glad, as a follower of Christ, you don't have to keep every single law of the Jewish code? Please say yes. Yes. The Sabbath alone, trying to keep the laws of the Sabbath and figuring out how far can I walk on a Sabbath day and can I help my neighbour's ox out of a paddock? Can I water my carrots on the Sabbath? Like, imagine just that one law alone, trying to figure out how to manage that. So yes, we're pleased to be free from that law, aren't we? Pleased to be free from the law that says you're a sinner and if you get it wrong, which you're going to, you've got to sacrifice a goat or a sheep or a dove if you're really poor or whatever you've got. We're free from all of that. We're free from the law of sin and death. Jesus said, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. We are free from being slaves to the law. You know, Jesus calls us friends. We don't have to madly try and please God. You know, you love God, and loving God is what pleases him. We don't have to madly try and do the right thing all the time. Most of us have tried that, maybe all of us, and it's exhausting, isn't it? Trying to do the right thing all the time. I could never manage it. All that God requires of me is to love him. And when I'm focused on loving God, you know what? I get it right more often than I don't. So it's about love rather than the law. Sorry. And the Galatians and so many other Christians through the centuries blindly follow the law, the church, the institution, whatever it is that someone else says we have to do, we blindly follow and we lose the sense of freedom that we have in Christ. When I am loving Christ, when I am allowing the Spirit of freedom to dwell within me, I can respond to what that the Spirit is saying in me. When my words are coming out all wrong. When I allow myself to respond in love to God, then I am doing and being exactly what God wants to me to be. And one of the most amazing verses in Scripture, if you look at the Old Testament and how many hundreds of years are kind of covered in the Old Testament, and then you look at the New Testament, which maybe covers, I don't know, 10, 20 something years, not too many years, when you think about all the stories of judgment in the Old Testament, all the sacrificial stories that you had to do this, this, and this, and you couldn't do that, and so on. And you look at the New Testament in comparison, and Paul says, there is therefore now no condemnation. Imagine reading that for the first time. Imagine growing up in a culture so different to ours, where you were bound by laws constantly and trying to get it right and do the right thing and all the other stuff. And then finally you read, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And I'm not going to ask you to put your hands up, but I'm going to ask you this question. How many times have you allowed condemnation to creep into your life? In your thinking? In your imagination? Imagining that someone else is condemning us for our actions? I think we all do it. And I think the journey of freedom for most of us is about being free from the voices of condemnation, especially our own voices of condemnation. If we have done something that displeases God, the Spirit of freedom who is living within us will say, hey, Joe, I think you need to deal with this situation. Go and make it up with your beloved husband or whatever. There is no condemnation. There is a gentle nudging of the Spirit. Something's gone wrong. Deal with it. There is therefore now no condemnation. So if you still get trapped by these voices of condemnation, you don't need to be. You don't need to be. It'd be exactly like the East Germans wanting to go back to a communist regime. It'd be exactly like the Israelites wanting to go back into slavery. And they did. You know, they said, oh, woe is us. In Egypt, we had melons and garlic and this and that. And they had to make bricks and gather straw and do this and that and blah, blah, blah. We are free from condemnation. So don't let the voices of condemnation speak to us and trap us again by anything that God does not desire for us. We are set free. In 2 Corinthians, Paul says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Now, if we believe in Jesus Christ, then the Spirit of the Lord is living in us. That's the spirit of freedom. That's the only voice that we need to respond to. The spirit of freedom will nudge us in the direction of doing right and good and holy and beautiful things. The Holy Spirit will nudge us when we're not doing those kind of things and just gently push us in the right direction again. And Paul goes on to say, again to the Corinthian church, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. We are made new in Christ. We are made new from anything that holds us back from being who God has created us to be. Now, you know the story of the butterfly, right? The grub, the caterpillar, who, you know, the very hungry caterpillar, nibbles, nibbles, munch, 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 goes into a chrysalis. And apparently, I'm told and I've read, that inside the chrysalis, everything basically turns to mush. So there's no going back for the caterpillar once it's in the chrysalis. There's nothing to go back to. He can only move forward. And eventually, after much struggle, which is an essential part of the transformation process, there emerges this most beautiful butterfly. That's our story when we come to know Christ. The death of the old self, the transformation process, the beautiful shiny wings that give us freedom. Imagine wanting to be a caterpillar again if you're a butterfly. Ludicrous, right? Yes? Yes, yes. You can talk back to me. It's okay. It helps me know you're still awake or that I'm still making sense. Imagine wanting to go back into the chrysalis where you kind of all turn to mush. Like, what right-thinking butterfly would want to turn to mush again in the chrysalis or be a caterpillar, right? Thank you. So it's not a big leap. If we are set free in Christ and the spirit of freedom lives within us, why would we want to be squished into a chrysalis again? We wouldn't, would we? No. We wouldn't want to be a grub again, having to crawl along the leaves and munch our way into a chrysalis. No. We are set free. We are free from condemnation. We are free from the law of sin and death. We have an eternal life that begins now and is only going to get better. So I simply want to encourage you today with these words to recognize that we are set free, bought with a price. Christ died that we might know this freedom. So if we choose, or every time we choose to be unfree, we're basically saying to Christ upon the cross, thanks but no thanks for today. You can just hang there on the cross. I'm going to be unfree and listen to this voice of condemnation. Now, again, that's ridiculous, right? Like, none of us would do that. But in unspoken ways, that's what we're doing. When we are choosing to respond to the voices of condemnation in our lives instead of to the spirit of freedom in us, we're saying to Jesus, thanks but no thanks. Your death means nothing to me. So we have been set free. And the music team is going to lead us in this next song, What the Lord Has Done For Me. And I'm going to invite you to join in and sing if you would like to, or not. If you just want to think about what God has done for you, what it means to be free, or perhaps how Jesus is challenging you today to reclaim your freedom, to say, actually, yes, I've got stuck somewhere along the way and I'm not free in this particular area. To be able to be open to that. You know, like the Pharisees that Jesus spoke to, we've never been slaves, and just wiping out 400 years of history. We don't want to be like that. We don't want to be blind to areas of unfreedom in our lives.